Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Warning, trauma dump episode. Okay, look, I was debating whether I was going to tell this today because it's not that funny. I'm going to tell you the first story, which I actually think is pretty funny. But the second part is not that funny. However, I thought very long and hard about this and I was like, bro, if I watched a content creator and they told me this like behind the scenes story, I would be eating this up. So I'm going to tell you also because, dude, I love my pod listeners. I do. You know, my live stream people, I feel like they know me really well. I feel like, yo, we're pod people. I got nothing people. We're connecting. I love this. We got like the little industrial fans. We got the doomsday prepper. What is this? I don't know what this community is, but I love it. Now, I almost died twice. Okay, the first time I'm being a little dramatic. The second time, we'll get to it. So last night, around 10 o'clock, I decided that I needed a little snack and asked my boyfriend, I'm like, how do you feel about some noodles? We'll just get a bowl of noodles. We'll split it, right? I'm trying to like eat a little bit healthier now, you know, trying to get my life together. But I still need a little snack and I need a little noodle snack. And he's like, yes, absolutely, order it. So I was having a super, super, super lazy day. And I'm a delivery person, okay? I order delivery pretty frequently. We live in LA. You can get anything, anywhere that you want. This is important because I order delivery all the time. There's very, like, distinct instructions, like, to get to my house. Also, like, whenever we order something, I always tip astronomically well. Like, minimum 30%. I'm a minimum 30% tipper, okay? I worked in the service industry for many, many years. I'm doing pretty well in my life now, and I want to get back to my people that are collecting any type of tips. It's just, that's how I feel. Also, it is probably not uncommon if you've ever, like, waited on me at a restaurant or, like, you know, served me a drink somewhere or something. I probably left you, like, a very, very, very insane tip where you're like, what was wrong with this woman? I just do it because I worked in the service industry for so long. So we order this food and the delivery driver picks up the food. And I can tell, like, it shows you what kind of car they're driving. And this person's driving a very nice car. I don't want to say exactly what the car is because I'm going to tell you what their name is because it's important to the conversation. But they're driving a very nice car. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So the food arrives and this person messages me immediately. Her name's Kimberly, okay? Kimberly's just doing, like, you know, doing deliveries like around 10:30 at night or something like that. Kimberly messages me and she's like, hey, there's no parking. I'm like, I order delivery all the time. First of all, there is parking and everyone always gets it upstairs. So I'm like not having this. I'm just like not super into it. And immediately, I'm a bitch, okay? This is so funny. Also, I just want to reiterate one more time. The reason why I was kind of like a bitch is because there's so much parking and it's really not that hard. Like, you're not jumping through hoops to deliver something to my house. Just for understanding's sake. So there's nowhere to park. So she wants us to like come to the car and it's kind of late. And so I responded and I said, Okay. This might be where I kind of messed up. But also, I'm telling you, this lady, I responded and I said, Kimberly, if you cannot deliver the order, please cancel. Thank you so much. So she responded to me and she said, Erica, are you aware of the parking arrangement in your neighborhood? Bro, okay, can somebody like back me up here? Like, she's getting sassy, I'm getting sassy, we're getting sassy. And so I'm like, okay, this is literally the conversation. I screen cap this. And then she goes, I would be more than happy to deliver your order to you. Are you able to direct me to possible suggestions of where I can leave my vehicle? Because you only gave me the option of canceling, which makes me believe that you don't really want your food. And I was like, okay, one, very sassy. I may have started the sassy war. And I was like, but two, she's playing the chat log game, because when Uber support looks at this, it's going to look like I'm the one that like doesn't, that's not helpful, right? So I'm like, I give her exact instructions of where to park her car. Because I'm like, you're going to play the chat log game. That's fine. And then she said, I cannot leave my car there. Yes, you can. There's no parking restrictions there. And then she said, it's 10 o'clock at night. Also, I do not see a front door. Bro, like at this point, it's the principle. I'm like so frustrated. So once again, I give her, this is important, I give her clear instructions on how to deliver, because she's playing the chat game over here. And in this, I give her like my exact apartment number and also like my security information. And then she said, I'm on my way. And then she said, she messaged me again and she said, I can't leave my car here. I was like, bro, this is like my third delivery this week. And this is the first time I'm hearing this. You know what? You can just leave it right there at the front. Somebody will come pick it up. I was like, also, I left you a 35% tip. This is kind of messed up. Please send a photo when you leave it at the front. And then she tries to call me and I'm like, yo, just leave the food. I don't even want it at this point. And so then my boyfriend, like, he hears the whole debacle. He's like, I'm just going to go downstairs. So he goes downstairs and he sees her car, which, by the way, is parked. He sees her car and she's in the car. Like I said, it's a really, really nice car with like tinted windows. Like the whole thing is weird. Also, she had a horrible like delivery driver rating. I think it was like 91% or something like that. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on. So he recounts the story to me. He said that he goes up to the car and he's like, hey, and he can actually see the bag of my food, like from the restaurant that we ordered. He can see it in the car and he's like, hey, is that for Erica? And she doesn't do anything. And he's like, hey, is that for Erica? She doesn't do anything. And then he like knocks on her window, which I think he probably recognizes like a bad idea. Like regardless of the situation, it's like knocking on a woman's window. But then she immediately rolls, or she like doesn't do anything. And he kind of like backs up like, hey, can you just leave the food? And then she rolls down her window and she goes, don't knock on my fucking window. It's like, yo, is that for Erica? And she's like talking, but he can't hear her. And he said the car was super loud. And he's like, I can't hear you. Like your car is really, really loud. And she goes, you can fucking hear me. And like this, like, it's really like, bro, it was like super uncomfortable. And so he's just saying like, can I just get the food? And eventually she rolls down the window, reaches over, puts it out the door, and she puts it out the window and she's about to drop it. He catches it and then just like, okay, let's go. So he comes back upstairs and like, I call him because this is just like, it's like a weird scenario. I'm not loving it, bro. And he's like, yeah, I got the food. I'm coming to the apartment. I'm like, okay, cool. We get the food. And then I look at the app and she's typing. Honestly, like it kind of creeped me out because like, look, bro, I'm in the trenches doing these shows about female killers and shit. And I'm like combing through the thoughts. I'm like, have I ever done a story where a food delivery driver fucking kills somebody? Like the typing after the delivery really creeps me out. And I look and I just close my phone because like I'm like, I don't want to see this, right? And so then I go back and check like maybe 4 or 5 minutes later, and she had like gone to the next street over and like drove by my house again. She never closed out the order. So, you know, you can like see them like while they're tracking. She like circled around the street and she was in front of my house again and she hadn't closed out the order. And I'm like, yo. And so I could see her car on the map and she does another circle around my area and then she's back in front of my house. And I'm asking my boyfriend because he said that it looked like she was on the phone when he walked out. I was like, yo, was she on the phone with like the support team? Or like, is she like mad and like calling somebody? Like, I don't know what's going on. So I can still see her on the map. 20 minutes later, she still has not completed the order. And I see her two streets down waiting by my house. And I don't know if I'm crazy here, but it's like a pretty freaky situation because
I don't know. Like I said, I order stuff all the time. People just deliver it. And they also like don't, you know, get all up in arms like this. I was like, yo.
So I'm debating. I'm like, do I just go to Uber and try to like cancel the order, or do I leave it on so I can see where she's at? So anyways, I go to Uber and then I decide like, I was like, I'm just gonna like cancel the order. And they were really nice about it. I was like, yo, the driver is circling my house right now after she yelled at us and cursed at us. I was like, can you please cancel the order? And then it was like, I think I reported it as like a safety thing. And then they were like, would you like a refund? I was like, sure. And they were like, okay, we won't pair you with this driver again. I'm like, I think you should take the report into account.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So anyways, I'm just being dramatic, but also that literally just happened last night. And I was like, dude, that was so wild. Like, I get it.
If I was a delivery driver, I would prefer you come to the car too. I would prefer that. I get it.
And I was a little sassy first, but is it just me or is it probably not the best to drive around somebody's house because they wouldn't come downstairs and get it? Like, this lady clearly felt very disrespected by whatever I said. And that's what I got. That's my punishment. Anyways, so the second time, I can't believe I'm saying this. It's gonna make me so uncomfortable. I'm gonna say it because I think it's a really interesting story. The second time that I almost died was last year when I didn't tell you guys that I got a cancer diagnosis. Let me elaborate, because one, I think it's very interesting when people, when content creators are like going through stuff and they like don't talk about it, you know, you just see the front end. But this actually is more so a story about a crazy doctor. It's really about the doctor. Anyways, so I'm gonna tell you this, but also I'll try to give you timelines, or I'll tell you what video was going up when it happened, because you guys probably notice sometimes I like go and take breaks, but a lot of times what happens is like, dude, I do not talk a lot about like personal stuff that happens. I've had so much crazy stuff happen in the past couple of years, but this is one that I kind of just pushed through it all, and you can like literally see that I was like still posting videos like through like November, December, January, and then I think I took a big break. So A couple years ago, I was dating a guy, and he told me, also, let me be clear, I didn't have, like, brain cancer or something. I had melanoma, which is a pretty severe and aggressive form of cancer, which is pretty stressful, but I'm okay now. I'm completely okay now. It's more about the doctor. Bro, this was so crazy. I can't believe I've never talked about it, but it's like, where was I gonna talk about it, right? So a couple years ago, I was dating this guy, and he saw this mole on my arm. And he told me, you should really get that checked out. That looks pretty bad. And you know what I told him, which is like one of the dumbest things that I've like ever said? I said, dude, I'm a gamer that doesn't go outside and I'm black. Like, I'm totally fine. And he was like, skin cancer is pretty serious. Like, you should go get that checked out. And I told him again, I was like, dude, I'm black. So about like 3 or 4 years later, I started to notice, because it was a very, very dark mole. This thing was, it was pretty much black. It was full on black. And I had this thing just sitting on my arm. And like, here's the funniest part about it, guys. I live in California. I'll show you like what's like left of it now. You don't really see it that often, but it's on this side. I've had a bit of work done on it over the years, because if you guys know that if you have any like surgical stuff, every time you look at the scar, it can be like very stressful. So I've had like injections to get it smaller. I've been, you know, doing little things, but it's not that bad. It's totally fine. But so the location of this mole was on the back of my arm. And I live in California, which means that for the years and years and years that I had this mole, the sun was just beating down on it anytime I wore short sleeves. But I didn't think anything of it because I was like, I'm black. This is fine. After a while, it kind of started to change. And I noticed that, and like I just couldn't get over how dark it was. It was so black. This shit was like Vanta black. I was like, that's weird. And I kept thinking about what my ex said. We had broken up at this time. And I just decided, I was like, you know what? I was like, I'll just go and get it checked. And so I found this doctor. I don't know. I'd been to like a dermatologist before, but I wanted to find something close to work, somebody good. And I found this doctor, this is so funny, through my insurance network, and she had all 5 stars, just insane ratings. I mean, her Google ratings were insane. You could get like rated on the doctor websites. Everything was just 5 stars. Like she was just the best. Also, she had a really nice office. And so I assumed that, you know, she was like a good doctor. I don't know. I think that's another thing too, which I think is interesting about this story. We see doctors as people that are here to help, people that are trained, people that want to help us. Like it's ingrained in us that doctors are here to help us. But, you know, some people get the degree for their ego. Some people just do. And let me elaborate. Like, it could be a very, very small percent of people, but some people do. So I went in and I told this lady, I was like, hey, I just wanted to do anything kind of general. And hey, take a look at this mole. And she was like, okay. So she takes, I can't remember what it is. I think they like biopsy it or something like that. She takes a biopsy of it. And like, guys, I cannot express how unworried I was. I was just so not worried. And she takes this biopsy. And before she takes it, she asked me if I wouldn't mind if she could record it for social media because it was like skin cancer awareness or something. She just said that she wanted to record it for social media. And I would never do this now, but for some reason, I signed her little papers and I said, sure. And she did the biopsy on my mole, like they took a piece of it out. And she was like, hey, you know, if I don't call, you know, no news is good news. And yeah, that was that. So I didn't think much of it. And then I remember the exact day of this. This is crazy to me. It was in November, and I was actually doing the interview with Bridget Harris. I was so excited about this. Let me also explain, like, this time in my life. I was really excited to be talking to Bridget Harris. She's somebody from True Crime that I had connected with, and she wanted to like let me interview her. She doesn't really do interviews. So that was really exciting. I think at the time I had gotten a renewal with a TV show with Discovery ID, which was really, really cool. And then I had a couple of other things in my career that were just really, really popping off. And I was in such a state of bliss this week that I had booked a trip to go see my best friend in Las Vegas. And I was just so happy, you know, and I didn't think anything about this. And so the day that I was supposed to interview with Bridget Harris, I got a call from the dermatologist and I missed the call. And so I called back and the girl on the phone, she was like, hey, yeah, the doctor really needs to talk to you. And this verbiage is important. She said, the doctor really needs to talk to you. When is the soonest that you're available? That type of verbiage was a pattern when I would communicate with these people. And anybody who had just gotten a biopsy for something, hearing that is going to be terrified, okay? Terrified. Like, honestly, bad fucking bedside manner. I know that now, and I didn't realize it. And I said, I have this, like, interview, this thing that I have to do. Like, can she call back? She said, well, she's out right now walking her dog, but she'll call back as soon as she can. I said, okay. So I had this interview with Bridget in like an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And dude, I was so stressed. I was like, I was just very, very anxious. And I was upset. I didn't know like what this meant, what was possible. And so I just got an inkling. I was like, let me just check something. And I went to the doctor's social media page. Like her little, you know, her thing. She had like 1,000 followers. And there was a video up there. And it was, oh no, I'm gonna cry. I don't wanna cry. There was a video up there. And it was my arm. It was my arm. And it said in the video, it was like skin cancer awareness, something like that. You know, this week we are prepared to remove a severe melanoma in a patient. It's very important to get your moles checked because especially like no matter blah, 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 POC are the highest people at risk for aggressive melanoma. And it's almost untreatable. It said some crazy shit like that. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm like a little emotional about it, but like, I shit you not, bro. I thought about if I wanted to tell this or not, but I was like, you know what? I just want some credit. I'm a tough bitch, okay? I kept like filming and stuff through this, but I think it's interesting. Like if I watch somebody, I'd be curious about this stuff. So I look at her social media thing and it's my arm. And she basically posted my diagnosis before telling me. And there, like I said, there was language in there like POC are the highest at risk. And I mean, basically it like saying how fatal it was. And then it was like, get checked. I was supposed to do, I saw that. And I think I kind of like numbed out. This bitch posted my diagnosis on social media before telling me, which I just think is insane. And so I still had to do this interview with Bridget while finding out through a social media post that I had a severe melanoma. Like, this is so fucked. So I like, you know, I'm very stressed about this. And I kind of tell Bridget like, hey, let's do this. I was like, but you know, I'm having a rough time. And she had to take time off of work or something. So we had to go through with this time slot. And so I don't know. I just do it. And I think in the middle of the interview with Bridget, they called me back. And I had gotten into a headspace to where I could do the interview and chat with her. And I just didn't want to lose that. And I didn't want to hear any bad news. So I was like, let me just like get through, you know, the recording. So I do. And then I call her back and I'm like, hey, like I'm so like numbed out at this point. It's like, what can you do? And so she kind of explains it to me and she says, you know, the biopsy came back that it was a severe melanoma. And I, you know, I was beating myself up because I was letting the sun beat down on this thing for years, like, da-da-da, I'm black, you know. And I said to her, I was like, okay, well, what do I do? And she said, you need to come in tomorrow. And so she and her assistant kept using this type of verbiage that made me feel like, now, we have to now. Your life is in danger. You have to now. Like that's the way that it felt. It was very anxiety inducing. So the next day I cleared my schedule. I only talked to my boyfriend about this because I didn't know how to process it. And I went in there immediately. And they did an excision on the arm where they have to basically cut out more. And one thing I noticed was while she was digging around in my arm, they stick a little needle in to like numb it out and then they cut around it. And she had her assistant with her and she started saying things and she was like, I'm gonna just make it up here, but I just wanna like deliver the tone to you. She was like, oh, okay. I'm seeing a something, something, something on the 48 next to this. And the girl's like writing something down. Like, well, they're in my fucking arm, dude. And she's like, okay, something, 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 margin, something, something, something. The girl's writing all this down. And then, and I don't know what this stuff means. I do not know what this means. And at this point, I had kind of Googled melanoma. And it said it was a severe, aggressive cancer. And she told me that there was different levels to it, like something, then moderate, and then severe. And the one that I had was severe. And so she's saying all this stuff. I don't know what she says, but then she says, don't worry, I got this. I got you. And she would say little things like she was hyping herself up like through the procedure. And I was like, okay. And she, you know, sews it up, boom, we're done. So then afterwards she tells me, dude, this is crazy. Yes, I did like try to report some stuff after this, don't worry. But then she tells me afterwards, or the assistant tells me, hey, just a heads up, our partnership with your insurance plan ended this month. We were supposed to pull that like insurance thing from our registry. We are going to honor it for your previous one in this procedure, but for any procedures moving forward, we cannot use your insurance. I was like, okay. And I was grateful. I was grateful that they were taking care of me and they were going to honor that, even though they couldn't process it through the insurance. Another thing that was interesting was this office was always completely empty. The one person that I ever saw enter was trying to sell something to the doctor. Never saw a single patient, never saw anybody in here. And so I go home after like that excision, and they called me again later. And it's the assistant, and she said, the doctor wants you to come in immediately for a full skin exam. The severity of this is very concerning to her, and she wants you to come in immediately. I cleared my schedule, and I came in the next day. And so what started happening was I was in this state of severe anxiety, because when they have to take these excisions out, you're waiting for the results, right? And if you've ever had any like medical issues, you know, it's over and over and over again where you're just waiting. You're in limbo, you know? And so, I don't know if I'm being dramatic here, but I was like, am I dying? Am I okay? Their bedside manner was very poor, and they weren't giving me any reassurance. And it was like the only way I could control it was clear my schedule, get in there. And I remember going in for the skin exam, and she's, you know, you have to like put this little thing on, and she's looking at me up and down, and she's taking all these pictures. She's, you know, just taking all these pictures. She's circling stuff on my body. She's doing all this, and she's just kind of making noises, and then she's like calling things out to her assistant, not saying anything to me. You get the vibe, you know? Like, I'm like very upset, super, super anxious, and she keeps saying, reassuring me, like, we're going to get this all taken care of. We're going to get this all taken care of. I finished the skin exam, and she said, there's one right there. She said, you know, I've taken photos of these. I have this all in your records. Like, she was very claimant of me. You know, I'm going to take care of you. I know what's going on with you. I have all of this. And she was like, I have all your records, and we're going to monitor these. And she was like, but this one, we need to get rid of this immediately. So I thought I was coming in for a skin exam, and now I'm getting another thing removed. And it was another biopsy for something. And you know, with the biopsy, here's something else I learned later, because I went to another doctor. My future doctor would shave things off for a biopsy. She was doing skin punches on me and taking these chunks of my skin out. I probably have like 7 scars from getting like all of these moles removed. She was taking these chunks out, and she made me feel like I had to do it that day. So I thought I had come in for a review of my body. And then next thing you know, like, I'm getting punched out. Like, when you're not ready for a procedure, it can be very anxiety inducing. I go to the front desk and they say, that'll be $600. And I was like, I'm getting gaslit out of my ass right now. And like, you guys know, I try to like watch this stuff, but I just, with the medical anxiety, like, it was fucked. It was all kinds of fucked. So I paid them the money. And so now I'm waiting on the excision results from the really bad one that they said was melanoma. And now I'm waiting on the biopsy from the other one. So now I got 2 tests in limbo. And this was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, kind of. I don't know if those are the exact days, but it was all 3 days in succession. And coming up was my Vegas trip, where I was supposed to see my friend. Also, I'm still putting out videos. I'm still doing my thing at this time. I'm telling you this because if you don't rate the podcast 5 stars and tell me I'm a tough bitch, I quit. I'm just kidding. I'm supposed to be going to Vegas. I'm trying this new stuff to like calm down. And I just like break down. The other thing is, you know, it's not a brain tumor. It's not an organ. It's not like a tumor that has to be removed. I mean, it is a body mass that has to be removed. But part of the good thing about skin cancer is, you know, it's one of the few cancers we can see. But the other bad thing is, I felt so sick in my skin for a weekend that was supposed to be so fun. I was looking at every single mole, every single thing on my body, and I just couldn't relax. It was awful. I was a mess. I was an absolute wreck. And I'm just waiting for these calls and waiting for these results. And eventually she calls me and says, oh, this biopsy came back fine, you know, da 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 da. And then a couple days later, she calls me back and she said, we didn't get everything with the first one, the one that was really bad, and we have to go back in, which, if you've been through this before, it's like one of the most devastating calls that you can get. I mean, you just want to know that, like, they got it all and you're going to be okay. So this lady, she's like, we have to go back in. And, like, when I talk to her, I cannot express enough how much this lady was gassing herself up. She really made me feel like that she had all my records. She knew what needed to be done. She knew what extra margins, like, I needed to get back, da-da-da-da-da. My boyfriend at the time, or my boyfriend currently, we're not trying to pay hundreds of dollars each time for this stuff. So he's, like, going through my insurance, and he's like, yeah, okay, let's go to these people. And I was so anxious. I was so upset. He was calling for me to check availability, and then he was like, hey, she'll call to schedule. I felt like I needed to get in immediately based on what this lady was saying. And so I ended up calling them back, and I'm like, dude, how much is it for the excision, the second excision? And she said, you know, it's $1,200, but I can get you in tomorrow. And so I said, yes. So mad about this. Like, this bitch is crazy. And also, she was just draining money from me. She probably had me spend like maybe $3,000, like $3,500, like out of pocket. She just fucked me. Okay, but I mean, it was my health, it was my life. I didn't know what to do. And she was always, I can get you in tomorrow. Come in today. I got you right now. So I go in for this second excision, and I also have like pretty bad acne scarring on my skin. And over the years, I've gone through a process called like microneedling, where basically they kind of damage the skin cells with tiny needles and then they regrow to help the acne scars. And she's a dermatologist. And the second time she's in my arm again, really just doing the same thing. So I'll save you from it. But towards the end, she was like, have you done microneedling before? It would really benefit your skin. And I'm like, bitch, I thought we were talking about cancer. Like, I'm not worried about my face right now. And she said, look, I told her I'd done it before at like a med spa. And she said, no, she said, I'm a dermatologist. Like, they're not gonna get you as well as I can get you. And I have no idea why I agreed to this. I trusted this lady. She acted like she was saving my life. And so now I'm getting on the books for microneedling for my face. And so I go to her office, and she, you know, they put the numbing cream on, da 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 da. And also, this was weird. I always get numbing cream with microneedling, but she asked me, she said, like, do you want numbing cream? And I was like, yeah, bitch, like, you're about to shove needles in my face. And so they numb me up, and then she comes in to do the microneedling. And she's going all over my face, da 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 da. And I mean this when I say it was like almost sadistic. She's like, you're not even flinching. She was like, does it hurt? And I was like, no, I'm pretty okay. And she was like, okay, I'll go a little deeper. And she starts to go deeper on my face. And I can see blood splattering off of my face. And I've gotten microneedling several times before. I had never seen this before. And I can feel all this moisture like dripping down my face and like this like splashing. And like I said, I just kind of trusted her. And then she was like, ooh, she said, I'm doing such a good job. Do you want to see? And I said, no, I'm good. I don't want to see that. And she keeps going. And then she says, oh, she's like, do you want to take a picture for your boyfriend? And I was like, no, I'm okay. And she keeps going, and it kind of starts to hurt more. Like, I didn't really feel it that much first. And the best way I can describe it is it was almost like she was enjoying it. And I remembered feeling that way when she was digging around in my arm and like taking other shit off of my body. It was really fucking weird. And then eventually she says, why don't you just look? Which is so weird. And she hands me a mirror and has me look at my face. And there is no reason why anybody should ever see themselves like that. It looked like my face had been ripped off. There was blood everywhere. It was like dripping down my neck. It was really upsetting. And she showed it to me. And I was I was kind of like stunned. And then she said, are you sure you don't want to take a picture? Like, dude, so fucking crazy. And after that was over, I was so upset. And I happened to be going to my therapist right afterwards. And I told her what had happened. And she immediately was like, you need to do EMDR. She was like, medical trauma is like very, very serious. So my therapist, who's a fucking rock star, also, she's very protective of me. She like immediately was like, she had big fuck this bitch energy. And like, this is the point that I started to realize, like, dude, something is wrong. Like something, like, I hope you guys can understand the state I was in of believing that I was essentially going to die. Like, I know it sounds kind of dramatic, but I didn't read anything really about melanoma because it scared me to read it. I had seen enough when I Googled it. And so I just trusted her. So it was my therapist that was like, no, something's going wrong. This lady is she's a fucking sadist, you know? Like, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but like, it was true. She never had anybody in her office, and she was constantly having me come in, paying her lots and lots of money while she was enjoying butchering my body. This is like, I can't even believe I'm saying this. This is like the most fucked up thing ever. Am I uploading this? I think so. Whatever. It was after the microneedling thing that I told my boyfriend about it, and he's pissed for me too. And now that my therapist has, like, in a calming and accepting way, explained to me that I should be upset about this, I then accept my boyfriend's rage as well. And I'm still kind of scared for my health, but at this point I had the second excision, and I was like, I just need to get out of here. So he says, we're gonna get your medical records, and we gotta go. And so we called them to get my medical records, and they wouldn't give it to us. I don't know why, but she wouldn't give us the records. And they were like, you need to come up in person to have them. By the way, when's your next appointment? Did you want to get that other mole checked out? We think that's a really good idea. And I said, you know what? We'll just come get them. Because my boyfriend was like, no, fuck that. If they need me to sign something, that's fine. Like, let's go up there right now and get them. We go up, we sign the thing, and they said, okay, we need 24 hours to prepare them. And my boyfriend went off. He was like, no. We need the records right now. You know, she's got a doctor's appointment tomorrow for something. We were trying to be a little inconspicuous. We need the records right now. So they finally hand them over to me. And the lab reports are pretty accurate. Their notes were like nothing. There was almost like nothing there. So she had told me that she was, you know, taking care of me and keeping all these records, and she knew all this information, and she was going to help me, and she was going to save me. And no, they were not keeping these records. I mean, these lab reports were anything that I could transfer over to anyone else. And so we took all the paperwork, and we decided this time to like actually wait to go to somebody that took my insurance. And I think it took about a week and a half. And they got me in there, and, you know, they did a full check. And this was the first time that I noticed that their bedside manner was very comforting. It was, oh, yeah, we'll get you taken care of. Like, yeah, it's nothing to stress about. Oh, this right here, yeah, just a biopsy. Yeah, it's great you're doing prevention, da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, this is nothing like the flurry of, you need to come in, this is severe, this is serious, you know, $1,000, it was nothing like this. And like, I, dude, oh my God. So, you know, I end up going to like a bit more therapy about this, and I learned a lot through this. Like, one, getting myself checked out, you know, nobody's safe. Just because you're black doesn't mean that you can't get cancer. And then also about asking more questions and not just like responding out of fear, like my therapist did a lot of work to help me calm down the fear in situations and, you know, turn on the logic, especially when there's a lot of money involved, right? Also taught me a lot about like how I should be treated. And so I stopped going to this doctor. They called me several times. Erica, you need to come back in for that upper lateral something. They would use a lot of medical terms. I didn't answer any of their calls. No, nothing. I was being taken care of. And for a month or two, I don't know what kind of grip this lady had on me, but I was scared to write a bad review or do something because I don't know. I don't always speak up for myself, which is, you know, another thing I was working on and learning. And it took me a while, but after about 2 months, I remember going back and looking at her page, and it was just five-star review, five-star review, five-star review. And I also noticed that she had some recent reviews. I'm like, are these computer-generated? Is she buying reviews? I couldn't believe it. And so I was really scared to write something publicly, but I thought about it, and I was like, you know, if there was one single review that I had read that was anything like my experience, I would have never gone to that lady. And so even though I'm somebody that generally doesn't like to say anything, I weighed my options. And first, I emailed my attorney, who he's an entertainment attorney. And when I explained everything to him, he said, look, I can hook you up with a medical malpractice person. And he was like, but, you know, you might get your money back. And I mean, that seems like that was the most of it. And so I didn't really know what to do. So I kind of didn't fully go the legal route. But instead, after about 2.5 months, I got some fucking balls and I wrote a review. And I was nervous because I noticed that she responded to most of her reviews. I wrote a pretty, maybe like 2 paragraphs where I explained a bit of what I explained to you, but you guys, but a little bit less emotion. I talked about her poor bedside manner. I talked about the eerie feeling that she enjoys blood and surgeries, and that I had gotten a second opinion and one of my surgeries was unnecessary. And I said that. And dude, what a fucking crazy, I was about to say crazy experience, but quite frankly, what a crazy bitch. And a couple hours later, I got an email that said, your review has been posted. See it here. I clicked. I saw the review was up and I never checked it again. Fuck that lady. Fuck that lady so hard. What a literal psychopath. I hope you guys think this is interesting. I part of the reason I'm telling all of this too is one, because I'm a trauma dumper. Sometimes I do. I don't give a shit. It's my life. I also like to be understood better. I also think that, like I said, if I was watching somebody and they were spilling something juicy like this and crying about it, I would be eating it up, bro. I'm so curious. And also, I don't know. I think it's interesting when content creators disappear or, you know, say they're going through something or I don't know. A lot of times I have something like this, maybe. I've had other weird shit that's happened. Like, God, I can't even say it publicly, you know. And I generally don't like to talk about it. And I just push through it all. I don't even know what videos I posted then. So if you're curious, you can literally see like the 2 or 3 months that this was going on. And I didn't talk about it. And you know why I didn't talk about it? I think this is the worst part of it all. The saddest part, but literally the worst part and the biggest lesson. Now, before I say this, I need you to rate the podcast 5 stars and we'll come back to the comedy next week. Thank you for understanding me. I think it means a lot to me to tell this story because I think it's interesting. I think it's crazy. Check your doctors. Now, why didn't I talk about this for so long? The honest answer is because I thought I was being dramatic. That's it. That's the episode.